had a pleasant good morning. It's 7:09. He's here just in the nick of time.
Morning.
His Honor, the Mayor of Racine, Corey Mason. Now, before we get to anything, you got a sling there on your arm. What happened?
Yeah, I broke my arm last week.
So. Oh, broke it?
I did. So I took a nasty fall and tried to, you know, put my hand out, my wrist out to break the fall and wound up breaking my elbow. So
was it anybody you can sue or? was it a crack in somebody's, you know,
yeah.
You trip in a store or something where you can make some money off this?
No, that's not the first thing that comes to mind, but, really, it's just making sure it gets healed. Doctor tells me it'll take about 8 weeks. So.
Oh man, you know there was a movie called The Fortune Cookie with Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau. Walter Matthau was a kind of a sleazy lawyer, and he was Whiplash Willie was his name. And Howard McNear, played Floyd the Barber, was in his office one day, a real disheveled office, and he tripped and fell and hurt himself. And Walter Matthau said, "Where'd you fall?" And he said, "Well, in front of that little sandwich shop over there." He said, "Couldn't you drag yourself a block to the May Company? They've got money. He doesn't have any money. Couldn't you drag yourself?" Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, it's my left hand or my left arm, not my right arm. So I'm right-handed. So that helps. But it's also, you know, it's for 8 weeks. I mean, it is humbling when it takes this long to get dressed or to.
Well, how do you drive a car?
One-handed. So you do the best you can. So. But it's, you know, it's also just a bit of a humbling reminder for people who have a disability where they might have to contend with this their whole lives.
I know, yeah.
You know, it's a real adjustment. And so, you know, for people who manage to overcome restrictions like that their whole lives, I am humbled and amazed by the work that people can do with limited mobility and an arm or a hand or a leg or whatever.
People born without arms or legs.
Yeah.
They seem to do just fine in life. They're happy as a clam.
It is amazing. So it is a humbling thing. It is a painful thing, but it is a humbling thing to go through this. I'm 52. It's the first time I've broken a bone in my life. Right. So I don't have a childhood story of falling off a bike or something to compare it to. But yeah, it was a doozy. So
I've never broken a bone in my body in my entire life.
Well, good.
However, that said, every one of my ribs was broken when I had heart surgery. They had to cut them all open. And that was 14 years ago. For the first time, a few weeks ago, I was going in. I have to go in every 6 months for, you know, an exam. And I said, "Could you look up my last CT scan from 6 months ago? I want to see what it looks like in there." And she said, "Sure." She brought it up, and there are 10 rings holding my ribs together.
Wow.
There's 10 circles in my, they're like, I don't know if they're plastic or wire, I don't know what they are, but there are 10 of them. And they're so obvious when you see them holding my, and I said, "Well, my ribs are all healed." They said, "Would you like us to cut you open again to take them out?" I mean, they're in there for the rest of your life.
Wow.
I've never noticed that.
Wow. Do you feel them at all or no?
No, I tried. No, I can't feel them.
Interesting.
But you know what? When I had all those ribs broken, when the first medication wore off, whoa. I mean, it was painful. Every time I moved, I felt it.
Yeah.
And so my sympathies go with you. Now, was this your mistake or is it somebody?
Somebody left something in the middle of the floor that they shouldn't have that I tripped over, but it is what it is.
So when's a divorce coming?
No. I managed to do it in front of 100 people, so there was at least that.
Oh, no. How embarrassing. Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you feel better, Mayor.
Thanks.
So you went to a couple of ribbon cutting ceremonies.
Yeah, it's
How'd you do that with one hand?
I did not do the scissors. The superintendent did, thankfully.
Let's talk about those.
Yeah, so it was great. There were three of them yesterday, and this is sort of part of, people might remember that 2020 referendum for the school district that passed by a landslide of 5 votes, right? Every vote matters. Tens of thousands of votes cast, and it passed by 5. So thank you to the voters that made that happen. But that has allowed us to build, you know, there's a new Red Apple School being built where Walden once was at 10th and Center. But yesterday we cut the ribbon on renovations that were made to Horlick High School. You know, it's a 1928 building that hadn't been updated ever until we did that. So they were able to put in new facilities and new equipment. And SC Johnson School looks, you know, completely different on the inside. And they added a gym and added some space there and able to put in some extra art space and learning space for the kids. That was just great. And then Mitchell Middle School had a real facelift done, an expanded gym, and again, new classroom space. And, you know, those buildings were built in the 1930s. So some of these buildings really haven't had updates in almost a century. And just to see how excited the faculty are, the staff are, but as importantly, the the students and their parents about, you know, what it is to be able to go into a building where they've got new facilities and, you know, new computer equipment and you know, new STEM room and other places for kids to learn. Really, really exciting stuff. And it ensures that those buildings will last for another, you know, 50 years so that we can keep educating kids there. So it was a really rewarding thing to see our schools being updated that way, and really grateful to have been part of helping to pass that referendum.
Now, you said where the Walden School was. It's not there anymore, huh?
No. So if you go by 10th and Center now, you will see a completely new building that is up there.
Whoa, where was I? Was I in a coma when this happened?
Yeah, so that building was one of the oldest buildings in the city. It was built before the Civil War.
Whoa.
In 1854. Somebody pondered that it might be the oldest flush toilet in the city. We were never able to confirm that. But I mean, it had been there for a long time. And the newer part was built in the 19 teens, but it had outlived its usefulness as a building. It just became so in disrepair. So if you go by 10th and Center now, you will see a building. They're doing the interior now, but the exterior of it is done. And so if you drive by there, you'll see a brand new building that's gone up.
Now, is the Jane School still in operation?
It is not. So there's a few.
My wife, I live a block away. Yep. And I was wondering, because I saw all these construction trucks there and kids.
Yeah. So Jane School, the old Red Apple, Winslow School, sort of over by 14th Street there, those are all properties that'll be ceded over to the city for redevelopment. So by the end of this year, we'll begin to look at if those could be transitioned into housing or some other useful purpose. They're beautiful old buildings, right? I mean, just the architecture.
And they just renovated the Jane School not too long ago. They put a new thing, that little cone thing they have on top of the steeple, whatever it is.
So they keep the buildings in good repair. So, you know, I mean, sometimes you get these old buildings that are just in such disrepair where it's just like, oh, there's no, like it's got a beautiful facade, but it's so far gone. You just can't imagine doing anything next with it. With the school district, you know, because we've had school children in there all these years, the buildings are, you know, the roofs are tight, the windows are tight, it's in a good state of repair. So we're looking forward to the opportunities to transition that into possible housing moving forward.
I feel bad. I live only a block or so from the Jane School, and I love looking at when I go home and, you know, wake up in the morning and
I can't imagine.
It's a beautiful building.
The facade of it is amazing.
Yeah. Inside, no good?
It's harder to make, I mean, they're... The inside of it's choppier than you might think.
Did the kids have to shovel coal in the winter to get it? Was that it?
I think there might have been a time when that might have been actually the case. And the older part there was also built before the Civil War, right? So it's a really old building. But, you know, they don't make walls that thick anymore. They don't put that kind of design feature into it. It is, I mean, if you're heading south on Main Street from downtown, it is the facade of that building. You know, and that turret that you see there.
What'd you call a turret? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is, you know, it's a real part of the view shed from the downtown. Hate to lose that, right? I mean, it's a really great piece. Now, the addition that they put on in the 70s, less attached to that, it's kind of a shoebox that they added on there. But the historic part of it is just really a beautiful piece.
Oh, you know, my wife said to me, she says, I don't think that school's open anymore.
Yeah.
Because they have all these trucks and trailers on the property. And no kids. And I used to see the kids playing there all the time. Yeah. And they're not there. Oh, that's kind of sad.
Well, you may have seen. So Gerstead added an elementary school. So they're now a K-8. And so you've got kids going over there now. And, you know, Geezy came down as well. So that's another school.
Really?
Yeah. So if you drive by there, it's an empty field. So if you
knock down the YMCA, you're knocking down the schools. You knocked down the YMCA.
I did knock down the YMCA personally. I got to take the first swing. But that, and then Roosevelt School will also come down pretty soon. So it's just a different. They're going to more of a K-8 model in some of these places. Red Apple will become a K-8. So that's a.
So no more middle school.
No, there's some standalone middle schools that are still there, and Walden is still a 6 through 12, so there's a little bit of a blended there. But I'm trying to think, is there any standalone just middle schools left? You may be right. There may not be anymore. You'd have to ask the school district that for certainty, but yeah.
My middle school is gone, the one I went to. The building's there, but it's abandoned. My high school is gone. The building's there, but it's abandoned.
This is in New York?
Yeah, in Long Island, yeah. It's all gone. I mean, my entire childhood, my grammar school is there. We had about 5 grammar schools in our town. One of them was Fairfield Elementary. Tell you how old it is. Every classroom had a fireplace in it.
Wow.
And we took a tour of, as a historical thing, we took a tour when the kids were, you know, going there. Yeah. And They don't use the fireplaces, but they're there in the rooms.
Yeah.
And at Christmas time, they decorate the fireplaces.
Well, McKinley, where Walden is now, it has fireplaces.
And oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to get rid of history, but, you know, you got to. It's not practical sometimes to keep these old buildings and these barns heated.
Well, you want to reuse them when you can. But if they've moved past sort of, you know, if it costs more to restore it or update it than it does to start over, that's generally how they make their decision.
Well, this was a depressing half hour. Well, I know it's progress.
I know nostalgia can be a powerful thing, right? Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, that's where, you know, I mean, I went to Walden for 7th and 8th grade where that new building is now. And sure, you drive by and you're like, oh, the old school's not there anymore. Well, that's a little sad. But then I think of a brand new building that's going to have STEM research for kids and the opportunity for kids to really do well at a magnet school right in that part of the city. I think that's great. I think that's great.
You know, we had a reunion of my very first radio station. And that was back in the 70s. It was a vibrant top 40, you know, hot rockin' radio station. Now it's all Chinese, 24 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
And it was so depressing. Not that, it's serving a purpose to the Chinese community. But this was a hot rockin' flame-throwing radio station at one time. And that was Chinese. It's time to, and it's time serving change. Its purpose to the Chinese community.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was kind of depressing to me.
Well, you know, there's touchstones that we call home, right? You know, the places that, you know, the house that you grew up in or the school that you went to or the places, you know, the first job that you had, you know. I mean, look, we took down a good chunk of the mall to put in the Woodmans, right? I mean, I had 3 jobs at that mall when I was a kid, right? I mean,
How do you feel? How do you feel about that?
Nostalgic, right? I mean, just like, oh, man, no more Cinnabon. Oh, well, what are you going to do? You know, no more Record Town, you know?
Is that where you work, Cinnabon?
Cinnabon, Record Town, and Walden Books for a bit. You know, so, you know, you just sort of, you just sort of like, oh, it's just not, it's not what it once was. And, you know, if you've ever seen that show Stranger Things, one of the seasons, I forget which one, they've somehow found a 1980s mall perfectly preserved. And you just, you know, it takes you back to all these childhood memories. And that's great. But if you'd been to the mall, you know, in the last couple of years, it was a ghost town, right? I mean, there was nothing going on there. And so this is a way to reuse that land. And
my mother used to say, stop living in the past.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, nostalgia's good, right? You want to have those fun memories, but not so much, you know, I wouldn't want to have a kid going to a school that was built before the Civil War because I had nostalgia for the building, right? I want them to get into a modern facility where they can learn and have the internet. And
gym class today, we're shoveling coal. Let's go.
That's right. But yeah. I get it, that nostalgia's strong.
I know.
Right?
I know. And my mother said, you live in the past.
Yeah.
And I feel bad. Even movie theaters when they're gone, because that's what I live for, movie theaters.
Yeah,
and by the way, we'll talk about this. I saw the new Godzilla movie, Shin Godzilla, yesterday.
Yeah.
Awful.
Oh.
Just awful.
Okay.
All right. But that's another thing. Now let's talk about the elevators. They're working?
They are. So City Hall.
in City Hall elevators.
Yeah, City Hall. So we were out for pretty much July and August because the window was in, I'm sorry, the elevator was in disrepair. And so we had to have it serviced and the sort of the podium that lifts it up and down needed to have a new sheathing put in it. And so we had to make sure that was in good working order, which it now is. So that's great. So next week we will bring City Council back to City Hall. I do publicly.
Oh, that's right. They were at the library.
That's right. Yeah. So I want to publicly thank Nick Dembski and the whole team at the library for letting us do our council meetings and our committee meetings there over time. It was really a bit of an inconvenience for them, but they were great about it.
And he's working on the bill. You'll get it.
Yeah, right. Well, it was nice about having a city building to be able to have as an auxiliary.
So, you could have had the YMCA, but you tore it down.
Again, if you'd been in that YMCA shortly before it was torn down, that is not a place you'd want to have a meeting. So I want to thank the library for their hospitality, but just remind people, you know, if you want to come to City Council or there's a committee that you want to cover, they're back in City Hall. The elevators are working. And so come on back.
Pre-Civil War elevator?
No. 1930s.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So the building was built in 1930-something.
Oh, those cables must have been nice and taut after all those years. I know. I understand progress. I do understand it. I used to take pictures of buildings before they were torn down and while they were building the new one. And, I look back at them and I, My mother said, stop living in the past.
Well, there are places where we can do preservation, though, where we want
to. Well, preservation Racine, that's what they do.
I mean, that whole parade of homes that they do. But if you think of sort of, you know, the historic pavers on College Avenue there, right? I mean, nobody would want to get rid of that. And I think of even just the work that we've done to restore the Horlick buildings in Bell City Square on Northwestern there, right?
Yeah. You know who's moving in there?
Who's moving in?
Racine County Eye.
Yeah, they might be there already, yeah.
Well, they just signed a lease. They're moving in there.
So
that was repurposed very well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, if people haven't been to the Inclusive Bean there, that coffee shop that's in the middle of it, because a lot of people just sort of knew it driving by Northwestern. That's where Haven used to be. And, you know, the school district had storage there for a while. But if you go back there, there's, you know, like a dozen of those beautiful historic buildings, and they've restored about half of them. And so it looks great. And so when we can restore historic buildings, if we can find a way to do it, we want to do it. But sometimes,
you know what's interesting?
They're beyond their use.
Downtowns across America, some of them are really going bye-bye because they're building malls and strips, you know, shopping centers. I remember when I read about it, that the mall was going to put downtown out of business. Well, here's downtown as vibrant as ever, and the mall's gone.
Yeah. Well, I think we're now in this post-COVID, post-Amazon world where retail's just a lot harder, right? I mean, if you want something, you go on your phone and you can generally have it the next day or a couple days away. So the days of, there's some things that I want. I'm going to go to this mall
water
where they have lots of things. Those days are just, they're not completely gone, but they're just not what they once were. And so if you're thinking about retail, it's just a lot harder to think through when there's such digital platforms that make it so easy. So people got to, you know, and I think that's what makes downtown stick out, though, is it's got some architecture to it. It has a sense of place to it. It's got, you know, it's got the museum. It's got the historic buildings. And, you know, Downtown Racine Corporation does a great job of putting events together. So there's a reason to come down there, a reason to celebrate and check out the downtown.
But we've got 5K events coming in next week.
Oh, man, they've done a great job down there.
Don't they? They took Festival Hall, Memorial Hall, Festival Park, Rotary Park. The band is there now.
Yeah.
The Racine Concert Band.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just, there's events all the time going there.
No, it's
they really did a great job, 5K events, of making that place lively again.
They absolutely did. They absolutely did. And for a long time, you know, we had a hard time booking events, but they've put community events together, which the community was really clamoring for, and they've done a good job of booking it out to, you know, get it to a place where we're at least breaking even on it. So that's great.
What about the YMCA land? Any takers on that yet?
Not yet. So the bluff is going to need some work and some remediation. So before it's quite ready to be, generally when you want to put a site out for bid, you want to know that it's a developable site, as the developers like to say. If you say to a developer, here's a piece of land and you just need to put a couple million into it and then you can start building, that's harder to do, not impossible. But we got to stabilize the bluff and make sure that all the remediation is done, get the EPA to sign off on that. But it is an exciting redevelopment site, right?
Did you grow up in Racine?
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. We did a thing at the at one of the churches the other day. Jim and Carol, Jim Messier, Carol Gianforte.
Oh, she's a great local historian.
The 50s and 60s, growing up, going to the beaches and pools in Racine. Yeah. They did the Washington Park pool, which is, you go there today, it's very depressing. I didn't grow up here, and I was crying when I saw that site. They were talking about two beaches that don't exist anymore, the 14th Street Beach. Mm-hmm. Which, if you're taking 14th Street all the way down to the end, that's where it was. And there's no sign that it ever existed. There were stairs going down. There was a vibrant beach. Now there's, you know, the rocks put up to prevent erosion. There's no sign that beach ever existed. And they speculated there was a South Beach at one time because there's a North Beach.
Right.
Do you remember ever hearing about a South Beach?
So I don't know if they ever called it North Beach, South Beach formally, but you can see sort of where the park is down by Gateway there, the name of which is escaping me right now. I apologize. But that's been, you know, restored as a natural area. So if you get to walk down there, down by Gateway there, that's where there was once a beach long, long ago. And there was a boat ramp, you know, as recently as maybe 15, 20 years ago. But that's all been restored as sort of natural wetland. But, you know, we had somebody just drown near Kerry Hogle Park a couple weeks ago.
I know.
Right? And so the challenge that you have, I mean, we are one of the few cities that still has lifeguards. I mean, I was just visiting Sheboygan a couple weeks ago, and they've got lakefront. I'm like, so where are your lifeguards? Like, oh, we don't have lifeguards. We just post swim at your own risk, right? But because those riptides and undertows can be so powerful, we plead with people, please swim in the guarded areas. So we have North Beach and Zoo Beach that are guarded during the summer months, and it's just really important for water safety. As much as people would love to have, you know, but between Zoo Beach and North, North Beach, it's almost a mile of beach, right?
I mean,
it's,
I know.
It's not like it's a small piece of land. Yeah. So, but the more you sort of add beaches and facilities, number one, the erosion of it once they put the breakwater in there made it harder to maintain that. But number two, just from a water safety perspective, you want to have people swim in guarded areas,
yeah,
so we can prevent drowning.
His Honor, Racine Mayor Corey Mason is here.